Our hymnal to song number 2, Glory to His Name. Song number 2 should be easy to find. Again, that's going to be song number 2, Glory to His Name. Let's sing it all together on the first. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. On the last. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Amen. Great singing. Let's bow our word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You that we could come here tonight to hear from You, and I just pray You'd speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be open and receptive to the words preached tonight. And I pray You bless Pastor Shelley, that You fill him with Your Holy Spirit and help him to teach us Your word. We love You, Father, and we thank You for all You do. I just want to pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Next is going to be song number 3, Right Next Door, Jesus Paid It All. Song number 3. Song number 3, Jesus Paid It All.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find Thy power and Thine alone can change a crimson stain.
to save. My lips shall still repeat, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Amen. Great singing.
Thanks for coming to Steadfast Baptist Church. If you need a bulletin, you can slip your hand nice and high. On the inside, we have our service and soul winning times, as well as our church stats. Please make sure to send those in to your soul winning captain or your lieutenant. Also, we have the expecting list and our prayer list. Please send any emails in if you need to update those. As far as sign-up sheets, we got a couple sign-up sheets over here. Reminder for the homeschool field trip and the Mother's Day tea. And so we'd like for all of y'all to participate in those. Make sure to sign up. One other announcement I forgot to mention this morning, but we are doing the Lord's Supper next Sunday night. So immediately following next Sunday evening service, we'll be doing the Lord's Supper. So we'd like for you to participate if you can. And I do that so that way you'll come to evening service. No, I'm just kidding. I'm trying to help those Easter-only people show up at least one more service. You know what I mean? I'm just kidding. So that's pretty much all I have for announcements. Let's go ahead and go to our third song. Song number 12. All the short numbers, the small numbers, right?
Bring out all the Easter songs.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be song number 12. Blessed Redeemer. It's going to be a cappella on this one, so I need everybody to sing, all right? We'll start off on verse number one.
Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walk across my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners, death on the cross. How deem I save him from endless loss? Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Father, forgive them, thus did he pray. Even while his lifeblood flowed past away, pray for sinners while in such woe. No one but Jesus ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me.
Amen. Great singing.
As the offering plates are passed around, please turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. As always, we'll read the whole chapter starting at verse 1, Proverbs chapter 4. The Bible reads, in Proverbs chapter 4, Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief. And their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, I pray that you would fill Pastor Shelley now with your Holy Spirit and help him to preach his sermon with boldness. And also, Lord, help us to serve you to the best of our ability. And it is in Jesus' name that I pray, amen.
Amen. So we're in Proverbs chapter 4, and I want to look back at verse 14. The Bible reads, Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. And the title of my sermon this evening is this, The Goal of the Wicked. The Goal of the Wicked. Now the Bible already told us, it's very clear here in this passage, that the goal of the wicked is to cause some to fall. Yeah. They want people to fall, okay? And really, you know, it's not like this is a one-time mention in the Bible. In fact, the entire scripture illustrates this point over and over and over again, where wicked people, they will strive together in one goal, and that is to cause Christians to fall. Now, of course, we understand that the devil, being our adversary, he does this to everyone because the devil doesn't want people to get saved. And the Bible makes it abundantly clear, the devil's doing everything he can to stop people from believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, people hearing the gospel. You know, he's the god of this world that's blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them, right? So we understand that the devil is attacking just the unsaved. The devil wants the unsaved to never hear the gospel and to never get saved. But once you get saved, it's not like the devil then just says like, oh, okay, I'm done with this guy. No. The devil wants you to fall even though you're saved. The devil wants you to be destroyed. Another way to word this is the devil wants to drag you down. Okay? And it's constantly happening in the Bible where great men of God or ministers are constantly fighting with the devil, fighting with his ministers, fighting with the wicked, and the wicked have one goal, it's just to cause you to fall. That's what their agenda is. Now, let me show you a couple examples of this. Go to Acts chapter number 23 for a moment. Go to Acts chapter number 23. And we have it already clearly laid out for us from the scripture that the goal of these people is just to cause you to fall. And, you know, point number one this evening is that you have to realize there's someone out there that wants to just knock you down. You know, it's kind of difficult to fight against something that you're unaware of. It's kind of difficult to embrace yourself for something that you don't anticipate. I tried to use this analogy when I was talking with my wife, but I said, you know, if you don't know that it's windy outside, you may not be ready for it when you walk out, right? It may catch you off guard. And of course, while the wind isn't so, it's not so evil or wicked that it's just, its goal is to knock you down, it certainly can. And back where I used to live, in the Amarillo Canyon area, it's literally one of the windiest cities in the United States. And I have to say that I grew a very strong dissatisfaction towards wind. That I don't have any appreciation towards wind. Some people like love the wind. I just detest it. And the only reason I detest it is because literally every day it felt like I was getting beat down by the wind when I lived there. I love playing golf, and golf is a very outdoor activity. And so I've had to fight against the wind for such a long stretch of my life. I just hate it. You know, it just really bothers me. It really frustrates me. And the wind can knock you down. I mean, it's just a reality that the wind is like a foe at times. You know, the Bible pictures wind as being a foe often in the Word of God. It kind of pictures tribulation. It pictures people having to fight against the evil, all the struggles that are out there in the world. And, you know, the wicked, they like to blow a lot of wind on you in a sense where they try to knock you down. There's an interesting correlation to wind in the Bible with false doctrine. You know, there's men that want to cause you to fall with every wind of doctrine, okay? They're cunningly devised fables, okay? Or they're coming and they're trying to basically blow their wicked doctrine upon you. And we could look at all through the scripture. That's a different sermon. But I'm just trying to give you an idea here that there is a foe that's out there. So that's point one, is we want to figure out that there's a foe out there. And sometimes you wouldn't even believe what the wicked will do. Like what the wicked actually does in reality will sometimes boggle the mind. How they will devise some kind of wicked evil against God's people. And often they'll even use the tactics of this world, or they'll employ people of this world to fight against you. They'll trick people and try to use them against you. There's a lot of government agencies that the devil would love to use to attack you. You know, you have institutions like the FBI. You have institutions like CPS. You have institutions like the local law enforcement, where the devil's constantly trying to use them to attack you. I mean, think about it. How did the devil kill Jesus? Through the hands of the Romans, okay? And while we don't have a Roman law, we don't have a Roman rule, we don't have a Caesar and those kind of things, you know, I always picture the Roman soldiers in the Bible as being police officers, okay? Now, sometimes the police officers are used for good in the sense that the Roman soldiers actually help God's people, and a lot of times they don't. They're kind of a neutral party, but they do the bidding of the devil oftenly, okay? And in Acts chapter, you know, 23 and kind of later in the scripture, we see a lot of just struggles that the Apostle Paul has with the Romans specifically. But if you're a soul winner, I don't even have to remind you of this, because you'll literally go out soul winning, and then people will call in and act like you're a literal criminal and tell you, oh, there's these guys, they're coming harassing people. You know, there's these people, they're attacking people, they're screaming at people, they're you know, hurting children, or they'll just make up all these kinds of lies and exaggerations, and they'll try to get the cops out there to stop you from doing what? Preaching the gospel. Yeah. To cause you to fall, to cause you to be dragged down, to cause something bad to happen to you. Why? Because that's the goal of the wicked, is to get you cast down. Now look at the goal of these people. Acts chapter 23, verse number 12, Paul's been put in jail, kind of. He's in temporary holding, and some wicked people devise a plan. It says in verse number 12, and when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. Now, isn't that just a crazy? I mean, when you think about it, that's crazier than anything you could dream up. A bunch of people saying, we're not even going to eat. We're not even going to drink until we kill Paul. I mean, talk about the vicious, just, evil that's going on in these people's mind, the wickedness. I mean, they're so malevolent. They're just so, based. They're just debased that they're just like, we can't even eat. We're so angry right now. It kind of makes me think of our previous verse where it says they can't even sleep. Yeah. Right? It's like, we won't sleep. We won't eat. We won't drink. I mean, our goal in life is to kill. I mean, this becomes the major thought, the major purpose in your life when you can't even eat or drink. I mean, if I gave you any task and I said, you can't eat or drink until you finish this one, that's going to come number one real quick. Okay. I mean, you're going to want to get that thing done. Okay. So notice that the goal of the wicked is what? To cause Paul to fall. And we're not talking about just hit him trip. We're not even talking about going to jail. He's already in jail. They want him dead. And I'll tell you, there are wicked, evil people in this world right now that they want Christians to die. And they're willing to go to all manner of lengths, all manner of sacrifice. You know, it's kind of sad to me when I think about it. I'm like, look how dedicated these people are. And then you have people that won't even go to church. It's like these people are willing to give up literal food and drink and put themselves under a curse to get their mission accomplished. Whereas Christians today, I mean, they'll just quit serving God, for any reason. I mean, I'm thinking like we should be more dedicated than these people. I mean, when you look at the Mormons today, doesn't it kind of make it a reproach unto most Baptists today that the Mormons who have a false gospel are going out and preaching the gospel more than Baptists? The Jehovah's Witness are willing to be looked like more of an idiot and more of a cult following than Baptists because they go out there with their stupid Bible version, with their false doctrines, going around peddling their nonsense, and they don't even get anybody saved. I mean, they basically just fail consistently. They're like Ray Comfort soul winning, It's like, what are you going to do that, When are we going to have a Bible study? When are we going to have a Bible study? It's like, never. Go away. No one likes you. In fact, that's typically what I get when I go out door knocking. They're like, oh, you're Baptist? At first, they're really angry because they thought I was like a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness or some kind of a cult leader or something. And then they finally realize you're like a normal person. They're like, oh, okay. But look at the dedication of the devil. Look at the dedication of his ministers. Look at the dedication of the wicked today where they're not even sleeping. They're not even eating. They're not even drinking. They want to get the devil's mission accomplished by causing people to fall. We should be more dedicated than that. We should be more willing to get people saved and go to church and read the Bible and to do that which is good and show them what it's really like to be steadfast. It's sad when we have protesters that come to church more than some of our church members. You know what I mean? And you say, okay, well, what was the goal of those protesters? To cause people to stop coming to church. Even my wife knows that. And I remember there was someone that was struggling with that. They don't go here, but and they're like, well, I don't want to go if there's protesters. And I'm like, she's like, you're letting the devil win. You're literally just letting them do exactly what they're trying to do, is to cause somebody to fall. Now, look at verse 13. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. That's a lot of people. I mean, think about it. If you had a group, an online group, of more than 40 people, and their like whole purpose, their whole mission is just to cause you to die. It's just to cause some evil to happen to you. I mean, they're constantly conspiring and planning all this evil and all this wicked. And you know what? It happens on a regular basis. Go to Psalms chapter number 10. Go to Psalms chapter number 10. So I'm just trying to paint a picture for you. Point number one is real simple. The devil wants to knock you down. And of course, all of his ministers have the same goal. The goal of the wicked is to cause you to fall, to drag you down, to get you to stop. And some people would say, well, why? Who cares? Does it really matter? I mean, Does the motivation of those 40 people wanting to kill you really change the fact that they want to kill you? I mean, you're like, well, it really sucks they want to kill me, but they have a pretty good reason. No. It's like you don't really care, right? Or like if I said, hey, it's going to be 50 mile per hour winds when you walk outside, or 80 or 100, it doesn't really matter why. It just matters that it's happening so that you can what? Embrace yourself. You can prepare yourself that you're not just going to walk outside willy-nilly, but you're ready and anticipating that evil that's about to befall you, right? The motivation really doesn't matter for us. The goal of this sermon is just to help you realize there's people that are actively trying to destroy you. They're actively trying to get you to fall. They're actively trying to drag you down. And I think sometimes you feel like, man, it just feels like a constant fight. Yeah, it's just life. You know, just imagine you're living in Amarillo, okay? Living in Amarillo physically is like what it's like spiritually. It's just windy every day, and it literally sucks. I mean, it's not that much fun. But you know what? In the world, you can move. But here you can't, okay? And of course, if you want to not have wind, you can just stay inside. You could just hide. And of course, that's what some Christians do. They don't want to face the wind. They don't want to face the foe, so they just hide. They just go inside where they feel like there's no wind. But let me tell you something, the devil will still find you inside. And of course, that's his whole goal anyways, just to keep you out. Just to keep you out of going out and fighting, just to keep you knocked down, just to keep you in bed, keep you doing absolutely nothing for the Lord. Because he knows that we're able to reproduce. We're able to multiply. So he's got to constantly try to knock us down to stop us from gaining traction, getting more people saved. And his ministers are going to do his bidding. Look how wicked they are. Psalms chapter 10, verse 2. The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken of the vices that they have imagined. Notice that, you know, it's not good enough for rich people to just be rich. They then also have to take money from poor people too. And, you know, David recognized this as being a really wicked thing because Nathan came up to him with a parable and he's like, hey, this rich guy has all these lambs. And then he just takes the one. This one guy has one lamb. And he's like, it's like his daughter. You know, this guy's a little weird, but, you know, he likes his lamb, right? And he takes his one lamb. And David said, like, let the guy die, you know. Like, kill him. I mean, he thought it was a really wicked thing. And the wicked today, they're not content having 50% of the wealth. They need to take 55%, and then 60%, and then 70%, and then 75%. You say, what are you describing? Inflation. Okay. So there you go. They want to inflate the dollar to the point where you and I have nothing, and it becomes a social credit score. I mean, you already have that. People are like, social credit score. And I'm thinking, like, have you ever heard of a credit score? It already exists. And you know that affects how you can buy and purchase. And your credit score also affects something. The interest rate they charge you. How nice, right? I mean, if they like you a lot, then you don't have to pay them as much money in interest and usury. And if they don't like you, if you're starting out, they'll charge you even more in interest. You're getting the same product. You're going to do the same things with it, but they're just going to charge you even more and more and more. And, you know, you say, well, they're going to stop inflation. But you know what stops inflation? Higher interest rates. It's the 1-2 punch. I mean, it's just like, it's just left jab of just basically inflation, just left jab. And then the right hook that's coming is interest rates. And then they're just going to constantly just keep pounding you. And look, it's because the wicked just wants all of the money. He doesn't care. Oh, you have $5? I want that too. And that's what the wicked are like. The goal of the wicked is just to cause people to fall. Take all of their money, all of their goods, just destroy them. It says in verse 3, for the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. For I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent. His eyes are privily set against the poor. You know what these secret places where they're murdering the innocent are called? Planned Parenthood. And of course, they've already demonstrated this. Fact, Planned Parenthoods are always in the ghetto. They're always in the poorer areas that they want to just literally murder the innocent. They want to literally murder minorities and people that have less money, and they're constantly trying to destroy the poor. And in fact, they enjoy it. You know, you read about some of these abortion doctors, and they are just the most evil, satanic people on the planet. They enjoy it. They like it. They have no problem the fact that they're constantly murdering the innocent on a regular basis. And of course, what is their goal? Their goal is to cause people to fall. They're literally like this conspiracy of people that just want to murder people. And, you know, it's a reality that we have to face. If we keep reading, he says this: he lieth in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lieth in wait to catch the poor. He doth catch the poor when he draw them into his net. He croucheth and humble himself that the poor may fall by his strong ones. Notice, he wants the poor people to fall. Because why? You can be poor and be greatly used by God. You can have no money and God greatly uses you. You know, it's not about money in this world. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ didn't have anywhere to lay his head. And of course, you know what the poor are great at? Getting saved. You know what abortion does? It literally reduces the number of people we were going to get saved. Now, of course, we understand the babies go to heaven, but I'm just saying, like, we could add more people in our army. We could add more people in our armed forces, the spiritual warfare that's going out there, by getting these people saved. And when we go in the ghetto, when we go in the poor areas, they're more likely to get saved. They're more likely to trust in the Lord. They're more likely to be a godly Christian. It's hard to find a rich person that wants to serve God. Not that it can't happen. Obviously it does, but these poor people are just victim of the wicked on a regular basis. Why? Well, oftentimes people are poor because they're stupid. And I'm not saying that to shame somebody, but what I'm trying to say is it's just a fact. Why do people have lots of money? Often because they're smarter than other people. And sometimes that wisdom, it's a carnal wisdom, it's a worldly wisdom. Doesn't mean that it's good, necessarily, because a lot of the ways that people make money are wicked. But, you know, it's clever. It's kind of like the unjust steward, where he gets commended by his Lord as being wise. Some people, like, literally have tried to tell me that story, like, the guy's a good guy. And I'm thinking, like, what are you talking about? The unjust steward's a good guy? And they're like, yeah, the guy commended him on being wise. And I'm thinking, like, okay, just because he's smart in the sense that he can figure out trick people, he can steal things in a clever way, doesn't make him a good guy. You know, it'd basically be like watching a movie, and sometimes you do this. You watch a movie, it's a heist movie. Okay, it's where they're like bank robbers or they're going to steal something. And you're like kind of rooting for them the whole time of the movie. You know, Ocean's 11, right? Ocean's 12. What's the goal of these movies? Is it get you to kind of have this Stockholm syndrome where you actually sympathize with these like bank robbers or casino robbers or whoever it is in the movie? You actually kind of like them stealing the money, whereas there's nothing honorable about stealing money. But yet, why did they end up stealing the money? Because they were smarter than the other people, right? They were more clever than the other people. Okay. And in this world, it takes a certain level of wisdom to make money, to succeed. And oftentimes the people that aren't making very much money, they're foolish, they're unlearned, they're not skilled, they don't have as much wherewithal. And there's nothing wrong with having that wisdom, because the Bible says that we're supposed to be wise as serpents. But here's the caveat: we're supposed to be harmless as doves. Meaning that even though you might know how to make money in this world, you shouldn't necessarily go to the lengths that the wicked do. You should work hard in order to make money, not steal, cheat, and deceive. Whereas a lot of people, they get ahead because of that. That's also why the rich don't want to get saved, because they're just wicked people. How do they get rich? Interest, usury, fraud, holding back wages, ripping people off, going back on their word, filing bankruptcy to evade having to pay back debts. I mean, all selling defective products, insurance scams. I mean, look, there's so many ways that people make money, but how do they do it? They have to be more clever than the system, right? They have to cheat the system. They have to steal. They have to do wickedly. And so when I'm talking about the poor, sometimes they're not as smart as the rich, but that doesn't mean that they can't still be greatly used by God. And of course, we're not talking about spiritual wisdom, because of course, if you start studying the Bible, he'll make you wiser than any of them. Okay, he'll give you the true wisdom that comes down from above. But because they're a little bit more foolish, because they're a little bit more gullible, they're easy targets. They're easy targets. They're kind of, you get this like NPC thing going on, okay? And what is an NPC? It's a non-playable character. So whenever you go into a video game or you're watching a movie or a show, it's kind of like the stand-ins. It's kind of like your extras in a movie. They just kind of walk around aimlessly. They have no real purpose. And it's kind of like that in a video game. You have these certain characters that are in the game just as filler. You can't play them. You can't actually use them. They really don't do anything. All they do is they just repeat the lines that they've been programmed to say. And we live in a world where it feels like there's a lot of people like that, where it's just like Ukraine flag, you know. I stand with Ukraine. I don't even know what it is, but I just, you know, is that a country or a planet? I don't even know, but I stand with it, you know. Give me that yellow and blue flag. I don't even know which way it stands, you know. I could put it upside down or, you know. People just, they don't even know what they're saying anymore. And of course, you know, even the rich, I was in a nicer, affluent neighborhood, and I see all these young 19-year-old spoiled brats walk out of their nice brand new car and they have a Ukraine flag on it. And I'm thinking like, man, you guys are such idiots. But so it's not like only poor people can be stupid. It's just the fact that because they're oftentimes not as smart, they're easier targets. And the dumber you are, the less you know, the less knowledge you have, the easier of a target you're going to be. There's so many people that want to get you to fall. Just email scams alone. Phone call scams. People, I've even fallen victim of these things myself. I've gotten in trouble even in the workplace. They send you these emails trying to act like they're a good-hearted person, and they're just trying to scam you the whole time, send you their information. You know, it's really beneficial when you get an email to click and look at the actual email itself rather than the title, because they can title whatever they want. And I get emails all the time, and it's like from Apple or Google or whatever, and then you look at the actual email, and it's like john37945678doorcreehousecar@gmail.com or whatever. And you're like, that's not Apple. Okay. And they're like, you just got logged out of your account. Click here to log back in. We just noticed fraud on your account. Hurry, log in to make sure that there's no fraud on your account. And what are they trying to do? You click on it and it pops up a screen that looks like an Apple website, looks like a Google website, and they're asking for your username and password. As soon as you enter it, they now have your username and password. And then they'll log into your real account and take it all over, hijack it. They want to get your credit card information. They want to get your social security number. They want to get you all these things. And people constantly calling you. You know, the elderly often fall for this, where they call them and they say, hey, we noticed suspicious activity on your card. Will you please, read us back the last few digits on your card? We want to make sure you still have it. What's your social? Hey, will you wire us $5,000? And it unfortunately works. You know, my grandfather was a victim of one of these wicked people. My grandfather had someone call him, and they pretended to be my brother. And my brother didn't, you know, and me didn't talk to our grandpa on a regular basis necessarily, so I guess he couldn't necessarily distinguish the voice. I don't know if it was like Gupta. Hopefully not. He didn't fall for that. But or he's like, I am your brother. You know, I am your grandson. But it was basically this guy calls my grandfather, says, hey, I'm Greg. I'm in jail in Mexico. And he's like, they took my wallet. They took my goods. They're not letting me out. I'm sorry. This is really embarrassing. And I'm really ashamed. Please don't tell anybody. Don't tell, you know, my wife. Don't tell dad. Don't tell anybody. But can you just wire me $5,000 to get me out of Mexico? And then they'll do it. You know, they'll literally take advantage of the elderly. They'll take advantage of people, of their goodness, of their sincerity. Why? Because they didn't realize that exists. What is point one? Realizing wicked people want to destroy you on a regular basis. And they want to take your money. They want to murder your children. They want to take all your goods. I mean, the wicked are not trying to stop from hurting you and harming you on a regular basis. You have to constantly fight against this wind. You have to constantly fight against the evil. You have to constantly fight against the wicked. Because the goal of the wicked is to cause you to fall. Now, I like this verse because it's kind of our response, but look at verse 15. Break thou the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness till thou find none. Some people don't like this verse, but I love the Bible. So, you know, it doesn't offend me when we rejoice over the destruction of the wicked. Because, you know, if you said, hey, what do you want to happen to those guys that ripped your grandfather off for their arm to get broken? I mean, why would I not? I mean, how could you not want that kind of evil? I mean, these people are taking elderly people's life savings, destroying their lives, giving them all kinds of grief and sorrow. These people are complete scumbags. These people are complete just evil, wicked, reprobate type people. And yes, wicked, evil, reprobate people exist, my friend. Oh, love your enemy. Look, yeah, that's a verse in the Bible. But do you realize this verse is in the Bible too? Break thou the arm of the wicked. Okay, there are certain people that should just literally be destroyed. Go to Matthew chapter 13. Go to Matthew chapter 13. I don't want you to be ignorant. And, you know, of course, I think our church does a really good job on this. Maybe I'm preaching to the choir this evening. But I think sometimes we need a reminder that the wicked are not going to sleep. The wicked are going to constantly try to hurt you. You know, that's one thing that makes it frustrating is it's like we go to bed, we actually rest. They don't rest. They just keep fighting you. They just keep attacking you. Matthew 13, look at verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Notice when they did it, when everybody else is sleeping. Why aren't they sleeping? Because they can't sleep until they've caused someone to fall, until they've sowed some kind of a tear in the wheat. This is their way of reproducing, which they can't technically reproduce. They recruit and they damage and they pervert. You know, the Bible says the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. And these people only come to do this. Go to Luke chapter number 10. Go to Luke chapter 10. So point number one is real simple. There's people that want to knock you down. That's the goal of the wicked. They want to cause you to fall. They want to cause some to fall. But point two is this. This helps you identify wicked people. Okay, it kind of has an interesting relationship. Because we're first realizing the purpose and the goal of these people. But then when you realize the goal and the purpose, when you find someone that has that goal and that purpose, now you can realize that person's wicked. Now what did it say in Proverbs chapter number 4? It said, hey, go not in the path of the wicked. Hey, we're not supposed to be around those people. We're supposed to avoid them. We're not supposed to pass by it. We're not supposed to talk with them. We're not supposed to hang out with them. We're not supposed to redeem them. We're not trying to get them saved. You know, when I pray for their arm to be broken and for their teeth to be just, you know, basically broken out, break their teeth in their mouth, oh God, I'm not hoping that they get saved. I'm hoping they get destroyed like the scum that they are. Now, of course, the difference between me and them is that I'm not going to do it. I'm going to pray that it happens. They're not going to pray that it happens. They're going to do it. They're going to try to do it to God's people. Now, look at Luke chapter number 10. Look at verse 18. The Bible says, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now, the Bible doesn't have this phrase, but we often hear it, fallen angels, right? You probably heard that term. Where do you get that concept? We get it from passages like this, where it talks about the devil falling, okay? Now, this is describing a particular event that's going to happen. Go to Revelation chapter number 12. Go to Revelation chapter number 12, where the devil is going to fall. And in some ways, you know, the angels and his ministers, the fallen angels, quote unquote, have already done their deed. They've already kind of stumbled. They've already sinned, as the Bible describes it. Which is another picture of falling. But there's a great fall that's going to happen with the devil. It's described in Revelation chapter number 12. Look at verse 4. And his tail, it's talking about the red dragon, drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born. So notice the Bible describes the devil as having dragged a third of the stars with him of heaven, which we would symbolize to mean the angels. The devil's literally convincing a third of the angels to do what? To fall with him. Why? Because the devil is not content falling by himself. He wants to drag others down with him. And what is the goal of the wicked? It's to drag you down. So when you find somebody dragging you down or dragging others down, that's their only goal. That's their only purpose. Let me tell you something. They're wicked. They're evil. And this is often how you can identify the infiltrators in our churches. Go if you would to 2 Peter chapter number 2. Go to 2 Peter chapter number 2. When we think about people that have come and gone in our church, you know, some people are normal. Like some people, they come to the church and then just for whatever reason, they don't like it, they just go to another church. That's normal. That's what a normal person does. What a normal person does not do is they come to a church and they don't like it, so they end up texting every single person in the church why they should leave the church. And then they start making videos online of why you should leave the church on a regular basis. And they do literally everything they can humanly possibly do to destroy that church. That's not a normal person. That's a wicked person. And notice, how can you say that, Pastor Shelley? Because notice that their only goal is to drag people down. It's one thing to dislike a certain ministry or dislike a certain minister, but you're often going to do something. You're going to point them to something good. You know, if I say, hey, I don't like the Pentecostal church, I want the Pentecostal church to be destroyed, I don't end there. I say, go to the Baptist church. Hey, go to a good church. Get plugged in here. Hey, instead of doing blah, 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 you know, preach the gospel in Spanish, right? I have a perfect replacement for the speaking in tongues, which is it's not a phrase in your Bible, to speak in other languages, right? And our ministry is constantly encouraging people to preach the gospel in other languages. We literally have a Spanish service dedicated to help people learn Spanish better, right? We literally drag people down to Mexico to try and help them preach the gospel in Spanish. We literally made a New Testament. I mean, it's so hard to even get New Testaments anymore. Get a Reina Valera Gomez 2010. So we're like, we'll print it. And we'll just hand it to you. We'll give it to you for free. We're not even saying like, give us $20. You know, I've never even sold a single Spanish Bible yet, to my recollection. Somebody asked for me one. Here you go. Someone emails and says, hey, our church wants to go out. Just ship them some. Just give them some. Why? Because we're not here to try and drag people down. We're trying to edify them. We're trying to build them up. Hey, a minister of God's trying to build people up, point them in the right direction, whereas the minister of the devil only wants to drag you down. They don't have an alternative. Hey, instead of going to Steadfast, I'm going to go to this other greater church, this better church. All churches are bad. Listen to me. You know, come to my YouTube channel and listen to me, help you and learn from me and be like me. That's what they want, right? Because they're just a wicked person. Now, 2 Peter chapter number 2 warns in verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So when a false teacher comes into a church, what's his goal? To bring in a damnable heresy. What does a damnable heresy do? It drags people down into hell. It's a doctrine that if someone believes, they will go to hell. That's why we don't tolerate damnable heresy at all. There's zero tolerance policy for that. You know, somebody can believe something that's not right and we'll tolerate it. You know, if someone thinks that the tribulation is going to be, basically you're going to be raptured before the tribulation, well, I think that's heresy and I think that's wrong. I wouldn't stop them from coming to my church. I wouldn't stop them from going out and preach the gospel with us. I wouldn't even necessarily not be their friend, okay? They're stupid in that category, right? They're dumb. They have a bad view in the scriptures. They're ignorant at best. But I could still hang out with that person. But, you know, if someone thinks that Jesus isn't really God in the flesh, isn't a real person, I'm not going to hang out with that person. If someone's going to attack the deity of Jesus Christ, if someone's going to attach anything other than faith alone to salvation, I'm not going to hang out with that person. I don't want anything to do with that person. You know, when someone starts creeping in these damnable heresies, we have to reject them. We have to get rid of those people. And you go to Baptist churches, and they don't even deal with this. You bring up verses like this, and it's like, when's the last time y'all threw somebody out for this? Never. Look, if you never throw anybody out for this, you have them in the church. Now, we may even have them right now. The only reason I have them right now is because I don't know. Because if I knew, I would publicly throw you out right now. And I don't mean like in 5 minutes. I mean like right now. I would just single you out and call your name out and rebuke you as hard as I could and get you out physically. So, of course, I want to fight back. Of course, there's a destruction that we hope for the wicked. But at the end of the day, you know, we also are pointing to good. So we have that balance, whereas the wicked don't have this balance. The wicked just literally only want to destroy. They only want to kill. They only want to steal. Remember what we said? The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. That's their goal. That's their modus operandi. When you're around somebody and all they want to do is just knock people down, all they want to do is criticize, all they want to do is be against everything, you're probably dealing with one of these wicked people. And of course, you start seeing the warning signs, don't you? And you can think to people that were like this, they came into the church, what they think everybody's a reprobate. And we're not talking like Joe Biden. We're talking about like people in the church. They're just like, I don't like this guy. He's probably a reprobate. This guy's a reprobate. That guy's, and it's just like, why do you think everybody's an evil reprobate? Project much? Because under the pure, all things are pure. Why is it that good-hearted people are constantly getting tricked? It's because they project their pureness and goodness on other people. Whereas the evil and the wicked, they think everybody's bad. You know, they think that every person is evil, and it's really just telling of who they are. This is one of their warning signs. Look at verse 14. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls. Now, if someone wants you to fall, what is it that you're doing before that? Standing. It's hard to knock someone over if they're stable, right? If they're standing strong, it's hard to knock them over. But if you're kind of just kind of standing on one foot, or you're kind of unbalanced, it's not that hard to just knock that person over, isn't it? That's why the Bible's describing here that these wicked people, they want to find the people that aren't standing real strong and real tough. They want to find the person that's just kind of like wobbly, kind of not really there, and they just want to knock that person down. And I have seen consistently in the last few years, every single time when one of these wicked people get exposed, some of the people that they attack, like the people they were attacking within the church, were always the people that are having the most problems. They almost never seem to attack the person that has everything going great, stable family situation, they've been saved for decades, they're doing great. It's usually the people that are struggling, the newer converts, problems with their family, problems with their lives, they're maybe in and out of church a little bit, they're not three to thrive already. Those are the people that the devil are going after. They're the easier targets, so they're trying to knock those people down. And of course, I'm preaching to the choir. You say, why come to Sunday night? Well, you know, coming to Sunday night makes you less vulnerable to the devil's attacks. Because it's a lot harder to quit coming to three services a week than to one. Because you have to have three excuses, right? You have to have not showed up three times. There had to be three lions in the way, okay? Whereas if you're just skipping Easter, think about how easy that is. You only have to miss one service all year? That would be real easy, right, to get knocked down. The person that doesn't know the Bible, it's really easy to get led astray with false doctrine, isn't it? The person that has a bad relationship, or they have bad family situations, or they're going through evil or struggle, it's so much easier for them to get knocked down. That's why it's important to establish yourself in the Word of God. Establish yourself by going to church. Strengthen yourself and to stand against these evil people. And when you notice someone constantly trying to knock other people down, that might be a wicked person. That's kind of the warning signs that should be going off in your head, say, stay away from this person. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Now, what would be another modern application of this? How about when Disney, their executives, have just recently got busted for saying that they literally want to make as many of their characters faggots, okay? And not queer, faggots, okay? Queer is strange. It goes beyond strange. A disgusting, filthy, tranny, sodomite, dyke, some kind of a faggoty queer. Yeah. They want to just, in fact, one of the main producers, executives, was essentially saying they want 50% of the characters to be like that. You know why? Because they want you to believe that 50% of people are that way. Not 3%, 50%. And, you know, they've done polls where they're like, how many people are homo? And people are like 20, 30, 40, 50%. Because they're so brainwashed by the media. They're so brainwashed by television. Because the only TV shows they watch are Queer Eye for the Straight Guy or whatever. Or they watch, you know, Will and Grace. Or they watch Lucifer, literally. Or they watch, I mean, they watch all these TV shows and they always have these sodomite characters, these sodomite references. All the men are weak and effeminate and queer and sissy. Look, it's a literal agenda, my friend. Another one of the executives said that her, like, main goal when they were working on these films was to just try and make everything as queer as possible. Just every opportunity she had, any character, any scene, any statement, just as much as she could possibly add into it. Why? Because she just wants someone to fall. Yep. Look, what is the goal of Disney? It's not even to make money anymore. You know, our companies in America have stopped trying to make money, and it's all just agenda-based, driven nonsense. They're just trying to cause people to fall, cause people to stumble. This stupid commercial came out for, like, Oreo cookies. It has nothing to do with Oreo cookies. It's just, like, this Asian kid, and it's like, there's, like, not really anybody talking. It's, like, trying to, like, just this scene of this Asian kid, and he's just, like, depressed or something, and they're about to meet, like, family, and you don't even know what's going on. It's really confusing, and then all of a sudden you just see this, like, statement, and it's like, well, she may be my mother, but you're my son. And it's just all this innuendo, all this subtleness. I know who's subtle. Oh, yeah, the devil. And then they show up, and then they finally just tell you what the whole thing was about, because the whole thing's, like, the most confusing commercial ever. It says, coming out has to happen more than once. And it's just like this disgusting faggot is basically having to have a reunion with grandma or something. And grandma doesn't like faggots. So, of course, he's having to face the persecution of being a disgusting, filthy, abominable freak. I wonder why people don't like you. And, of course, it's Asian people. Why? Because Asians don't like fags, all right? So, of course, they have to show, you know, grandma doesn't like sodomites because she's not brainwashed by the television. You know why older people don't like faggots? Because they didn't watch all the TV growing up. They didn't have TV. And the only TV show they watched was the 1960s movie Boys Beware from the LA Police Department saying, hey, they're sick in the head. Hey, beware of these freaks. They said, hey, if you see one going in the bathroom, don't go in the bathroom. You know, now they say, hey, they can use whatever bathroom they want. And it's like, as soon as they use the bathroom, it should be like, just burn it. I don't know. There's probably needles and AIDS and HIV all over that bathroom now. Sick. It's sick what these dogs do. It's sick what the world's. And you say, why would Oreos care so much about Asian grandmas not hating faggots? Because they're wicked. Because they just want to cause some to fall. Because they just want to constantly plant it in your mind and constantly plant it in kids' minds. Oh, they're normal. They're normal. We love them. We love them. We love them. We love them. They're normal. They're normal. It's cool. It's fun. Oh, don't be like these hate preachers. Don't be like the Pastor Shelleys of this world. Oh, look at these evil, mean people. These mean-spirited people. Ah, they're so angry. Right? Isn't that how they want to paint us? They want to paint Pastor Shelley as the angriest person you've ever met, the meanest person you've ever met, the most violent, I mean, just a predator, you know, whatever. And it's like, come with this cute, cuddly little, you know, Fido. He's so kind and he's so sweet and he's so nice. No, he's a faggot. And what he'll do is as soon as you get around the corner, he'll molest you. Yeah, right. Uncle Diddles. I mean, they are literally like this. You know, and of course they want to cause you to say like, oh, we can't not invite over Uncle Diddles. Yes, you can. Well, we got to go to the family reunion and Uncle Diddles can be there. Well, I'm not going to be there. I mean, It makes no sense. What if I said, hey, here, there's a pack of pedophiles, child molesters over here. We're going to go hang out with them for a little bit. That makes no sense. Just put the two and two together. Faggot, pedophile. Fag, pedophile. Same person. Same human. If we could just, look, it seems like if we could just get Republicans and conservatives to realize these are some synonyms. Same word. You know, we need that meme, that like office meme where it has Pam Beasley and has the two windows and it says, tell me the difference between these pictures, and it's faggots and pedophiles. It's the same picture. It's the same person. Oh, you're so hateful. No, I'm just telling you the truth. And of course, they don't want to actually combat that. They don't want to actually, they basically just want to shut you up. They just want to shut you down, cause you to be labeled as this hate preacher. Well, let me tell you something. Yeah, I do hate pedophiles. There, I said it. Ooh. Ooh. You hate child molesters? Yeah, I do. Yeah, I hate people that molest children and murder the innocent and cause people to fall. You know what? What do you want them to happen to them? Their arm to be broken and their mouth to be just kicked, curb checked. Break their teeth in their mouth, oh God. Have them bite a curb and curb check them. You know, now let me put in a little caveat. I'm, of course, never advocating violence towards any person. I would never do this. Our church would never do this. Okay. I'm just hoping it happens. By God sending someone more wicked than them to do that to them. Now, of course, you say, well, it sounds like you would be excited if it happened. Well, that's true. Of course I would. But you know, these people are the biggest hypocrites ever because they get so excited about the idea of anything negative happening to me. How is that fair? How is it fair that they could literally wish for me and my whole family to die in the most gruesome way imaginable, and they say how excited they would be, but then I say, well, I hope that you guys get destroyed by the Lord. It's like, how dare you? I hope you die a horrible death. It's like, what? And they get mad at you for wishing anybody to hell. I mean, I got a text from that faggot, you know, loving queer bait leasing agent, Jake Burns, who sent me a text message basically saying, you're a false prophet and your wife's fat and I'm going to be so glad that you guys are going to hell. And I'm thinking like, why is it that you're mad at me? Because I say there's people that are going to go to hell and I'm not sad about it. So then you're going to tell me that you're not sad about the fact of me going to hell? Talk about hypocrisy. Oh, you're so much more of a moral person than me. You wish people to go to hell and that you're happy about it. But then I say that and you freak out. You know why they freak out and I don't freak out? Because I'm going to heaven and they're going to hell. And they know that. They know that's the truth. They know that's the reality. That's why it irks them so much. You know, why does it irk women when you dress feminine? Because they know that's how they should dress. They're not sitting here just like, oh, I can't believe you wear, you know, dresses and skirts. You know, they're not like offended for you. They're not like, oh, you poor dear. No, they know that they look like a dude and they wish they looked feminine. Because if it was some weird garment that, you know, our church believed women should wear, like a green bonnet or something, okay? Like you have to wear, or this like funny hat that the Jews have to wear or something, right? Or you had to wear some kind of like the phylacteries, like we're strapping things to our arms, we're strapping Bibles to our heads or something like that, literally. They wouldn't sit there and get so offended. They'd be like, you're weird, you know? Like, that's bizarre. They wouldn't feel judged. They wouldn't feel like they're, you know, having all these issues. You know why they feel judged? It's because they look like a dude or they're naked and you're dressed like a modest, godly person and it hurts their heart because they know the law of God is true. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Look, point one is this. The devil wants to knock you down. And he'll do it any way he can. Disney, Oreos. I mean, what other government-paid institutions want to knock you down? I mean, the FBI, CPS. CPS wants to steal children from parents sometimes. Not, you know, there's just all kinds of ways the devil can try to kill you, can destroy you, can affect your finances, can affect your family. And he's trying to get all, he's just a shotgun approach, just all of it. Just every single thing. He just wants to knock you down, knock you down, knock you down. Well, one thing that'll help the devil is if you're a prideful person about it. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Don't get this prideful, arrogant attitude thinking like, oh, I would never fall victim to this. And here's one of those things. Is like, well, I know that Oreos and Disney, I know that they're promoting all these sodomite characters, but our family is so strong that we can still watch all of that and it won't affect us. That's pride. That's pride. You know, the Bible said to avoid them. The Bible said to stay away from them. You know, and if, oh, you don't watch Disney movies? I stopped a long time ago. They already had a lot of perverted crap in there. And in fact, what is the goal of every Disney film? To fall in love. Notice emphasis on fall. Because they're always falling for the wrong person. Aladdin falling for some whore named Jasmine, okay? It's not the name that's bad, okay? Sorry. But she's dressed like a whore. She's dressed like a dude. She's got pants on and a bra. I mean, what self-respecting man would let his daughter wear pants and a bra out as her outfit? Aladdin. A whole new world. You thought that song was about having fun. No, they were literally mocking you about what the world's going to turn into. They were mocking you about what the world's going to be like, where they have girls looking like dudes and dudes looking like girls. Miss Doubtfire. Right, where you mock. I mean, some of the lines of this movie are wicked. You know, he shows up at the door of his, like, cousin or whatever, his uncle or something, and he's like, make me a woman. And you know what the line is from the next guy? That makes me so happy. And, of course, what are they doing? They're putting sodomite innuendo in there. Because we know that Robin Williams' character has innocent intentions with that, in the sense that he's not wanting to be a disgusting, filthy, sodomite faggot. But of course, what are they trying to do? They're trying to plant that idea in there. They're trying to say, like, oh, if someone came out as a disgusting tranny, you should be happy for them. Rather than saying, like, get away from me, you freak. Never be around my children. And then, of course, what's the whole movie about? Putting him around children. Wow. You think that's a coincidence, don't you? You think the most, it's such an innocent film, getting dudes to dress up like women to hang out with children that have been divorced from their wife. And in fact, the movie doesn't even end good. The movie ends that divorce is okay. I don't know if you've seen the stupid movie. Don't watch the movie, okay? I'll just tell you about it. But basically, you know, you're kind of hoping that the mom and dad will reconcile and he can stop being a disgusting, like, sodomite queer tranny or whatever. But then the movie ends, and it's like, nope, they're not getting back together, and divorce is a reality, and he continues being this sodomite tranny on television. They're like just laughing at us. Yeah. They're like, hey, we're going to put this tranny on television now. And of course, everybody's just, oh, it's Robin Williams. How dare you say something negative about Robin Williams? Well, he's burning in hell. Yeah. Do you want to go there with him? Yeah. I mean, what's the point? He's just trying to drag people down with him. And, of course, Robin Williams, that's not the only movie like that. I think there was a movie called Birdcage he was in. Praise God, I never saw it. But it's like a movie about disgusting trannies and faggots. You know, and it used to be that lawyers wouldn't want to represent the sodomite, like in the movie Philadelphia with Tom Hanks. But now they don't want to represent the Bible-believing pastor. They flipped the script. And they're laughing at us. They're trying to knock us down. Look, we should identify these things and say, these people are wicked. And we need to humble ourselves so that we can stand. Go, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter number 1. Go to 2 Peter chapter number 1. You know, the Bible talks about the devil constantly trying to get people to fall. You know, even a pastor, if he's a novice, he could fall into the condemnation of the devil. Okay? Of course, the devil wants to cause people to fall into temptation, into a snare, with what? The love of money. Why is it that, how is it that Oreos can literally make a commercial about Asian grandmas not liking sodomites and still make money, right? Like, how does that make any sense? It's because people are so afraid to say anything negative against it that they'll get canceled. And so because of the love of money, they fall into the temptation. They fall in the trap. Now they have to embrace this junk. It's so weird, my friend. I mean, I've been looking up a lot of churches recently, trying to figure out if we can get their building. And I looked at their doctrinal statement, and it blows my mind how many churches they'll literally have on their website, like, we don't discriminate against people based on their gender identity. Companies, every company has this. You know, just the mom and pop shop. We're a Christian company, but we want to make sure to let you know we don't discriminate based on gender identity. And I'm thinking, like, all I wanted to eat was two chocolate cookies with white filling in the middle. I don't want a political statement. Like, why would anybody do that? Look, there's a serious agenda. Why do you preach against it? Well, who else is going to do it? Oreos isn't going to do it. The Disney movies aren't going to do it. Hollywood's not going to do it. Joe Biden's not going to do it. Pete Buttigieg certainly isn't going to do it. Who's going to do it? The public school? No. Are any of the public school teachers going to do it? No, because they'll get fired. How about the people, what about these companies? Nope, they'll lose their customers. They'll get canceled. The credit card companies will shut them down. None of the corporations are going to do it. How about college? UNT is promoting the exact opposite, my friend. Who's going to do it if the church doesn't do it? You know, and people get mad at Pastor Shelley. It's like, so you just want our world to literally turn into Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what you want. You say, well, why do you not want that to happen? Because I don't want everybody to fall. What happened at Sodom? Everybody fell. It got to a point where everyone was destroyed. Everyone was, basically taken advantage of. We need some people to stand up and fight and to realize, hey, the goal of the wicked is to get us to fall. We have to resist him. We have to fight against him. We have to realize that he's there. We have to identify who he is, and then we have to stand, okay? 2 Peter chapter number 1, look at verse number 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, giving diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never, look at this word, fall. Now, of course, it has this long list of things that we're doing, but we're basically getting better as Christians. We're adding, virtue, and we're adding knowledge, we're adding temperance, we're adding patience, we're adding godliness. You know, I help you add patience every time I preach because it's just so long. But that'll help you not fall. Because you hear that 15-minute sermonette, and it'll just feel like nothing afterwards, okay? It's kind of like food. If you eat, like, big portions of food, your stomach gets used to it. It stretches, right? To where you can handle a big meal. And then if you have a little bit, it just seems like a snack. So it's like, I want to get you so full on hearing the Word of God being preached that you don't want a snack, okay? You'd be disappointed, all right? That's what I have to motivate myself with, okay? They want to hear a long sermon. Not just kidding. Look at chapter 3 and look at verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Look, the goal of this sermon is very simple. There's someone that wants to knock you down. It's the devil and his minions, right? When we notice people that are going around causing people to fall and stumble, recognize them as the evil, wicked people that they are. And point three is this: we need to stand fast. Go to 1 Corinthians 16. I want to go one more place. I'm sorry. Go to 1 Corinthians 16. Let's look at one more verse here. We have to stand. We stand by grace. In Romans chapter number 5, it says that we're standing by grace. I don't stand because I'm so strong. I don't stand because I'm more righteous than another person. I stand by the grace of Jesus Christ. I stand in his strength and in his might. But at the end of the day, it does still take our effort to rest upon him, to put into practice the word of God, to be willing to face the foe. Most of the time, if you study the Bible, when there's a battle, there's only one element needed for them to have victory. They try. That's it. They don't have to be that strong. I mean, you know, what did David have to do to be victorious? He just had to try. The Lord was going to be there to guide him. The Lord was going to be the one to help that rock just penetrate that Goliath's head and cause him to fall. Okay. You know, oftentimes it was just like, hey, just blow the trumpet. Just walk around the city. I mean, is that hard? Walk around Jericho a few times, and then we're going to blow the trumpet. And then all the walls are just going to fall down. Okay? Gideon's army. It's like, how are we going to defeat this great multitude? Just show up. Just show up. Just break the light, you know, the vessel covering the light. Just blow the trumpet, and we'll win. Hey, just show up, and God will just hit them with hailstones. Just show up and God will fight them from the mulberry trees. Just show up and God will do his work. You know, God will fight for you. God will deliver you. God will be your strength. Just try. Well, how am I going to get someone saved? Just show up. Well, I don't know if I can do it. Just show up. Let the Lord Jesus Christ be your strength. Let him be your might. You know, I don't know how I'm going to, you know, fight off all the Oreos and the Disney and blah, blah, blah. It's just show up. Just be present. Just go into church or in your Bible. Just resisting him is enough. God can do his work. But realize the devil wants to get you to just stop. The devil wants you to quit. Don't quit. Don't ever quit. Never stop. And as soon as you realize that you've quit in some area, as soon as you stumble, get back up. You say, well, I sinned this week. Well, get back up. Well, I fell this week. Someone knocked me down. Get up. And if you notice someone else fall, pick them up. Go stand over. Just grab them by the shirt collar and rip them up and say, stand, buddy. Just keep standing. Just keep being in the battle. That's all you have to do. 1 Corinthians chapter number 16, look at verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. You know, it takes strength to keep serving God. But we just keep doing it. Because the goal of the wicked is to get you to fall. So if you've fallen, you've already fallen victim of the devil. He won. The only way to have victory over the devil is just to keep standing. And you say, well, what happens if our church shrinks? Are you standing? Then you won. Then you're victorious. Well, I lost all my money, but are you still standing? Then you're victorious. Well, no one likes me. Yeah, but are you still standing? You're still victorious. Look, as long as you didn't fall, you're still victorious. We're supposed to stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, meaning you shouldn't quit. You should be like a man and just keep fighting. I saw the Masters is going on this week, and I don't like this person that much, but you have to at least give him some respect in the fact that this one golfer, he just doesn't want to quit. And it's Tiger Woods, okay? Now, the guy's wicked. He's an adulterer. But if there's something to praise about the guy, and don't go too far with this, it's like the unjust steward, okay, is he doesn't give up. I mean, the guy, his wife was beating him around the golf club. He didn't give up, you know, publicly shamed, didn't give up at golf. You know, he used to be, and it's probably got to be hard to be like the greatest golfer ever, and then come back and not be that great, to kind of like struggle a little bit. But he did it anyways. Then he had knee injuries. He had to go back, had surgery. Now he's still fighting. He was in a car accident. I think his car literally like went off a cliff. And he had like all kinds of surgeries and all kinds of things. But he's still out there. And he's been in a lot of interviews and they just said, what do you want people to think about when they think about Tiger Woods playing golf? And he's just like, just to never give up on your dreams, to never quit. And isn't it sad that the world understands that point, but Christians don't sometimes? Isn't it sad that the wicked are willing not to eat, sleep, or drink? They won't give up trying to destroy. We need to be the same way. People need to look at Steadfast Baptist Church, and in 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, they say, man, those people won't quit. Pastor Shelley won't quit. As the lawyer famously said in our eviction trial, He said, the pastor said all these comments, and I'm thoroughly convinced he's not going to stop. And I'm thinking, like, good. I'm glad you know. Yeah, throw me in jail. I'm not going to quit preaching that doctrine. Hey, I still got it right here. I got the sodomite deception, you know, QR code right here. You can take a picture. Hey, I'm going to still fight. I'm still going to, you know, they're like, oh, man, you would think if we took all their money and we took their building, if we put pressure on them, then they'd quit. No, never. Be ye steadfast. Look, you're going to have to put a bullet in my head to quit, get me to quit. And they may do that, but guess what? I would rather die standing than lay down in the fetal position and hope for death. You're going to have to do your best. But you know what? When you have God on your side, you can overcome that wind. And one day there won't, I think, this is just my personal belief, I think the wind's going to stop, okay? It says like he holds, it's like there's no wind at some point, and I don't think he brings it back. I hope not, all right? But even if he does, not my will, but his will be done, all right? Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the word of God. Thank you for warning us about the evil that's out there. I pray that we wouldn't be discouraged by a message like this, but rather we'd be emboldened and strengthened to want to stand against the wiles of the devil, to stand fast in the faith, to quit us like men, to be steadfast, and not to just say that, not just to wear the shirt, not to have the bumper sticker, but deep down in our hearts, we want to have the same kind of resolve that the wicked have. In fact, we want to go above that, beyond that, and say, you know what, if they can commit themselves, dedicate their lives to evil and wickedness, dedicate their lives to destruction, we ought to be willing to dedicate our lives to life, dedicate our lives to serving God, dedicating our lives to protecting the innocent, dedicating our lives to doing that which is right and pleasing in your sight. And I pray as we go through the stormy winds that we wouldn't get knocked down, but rather we would stand strong in your might. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
All right, let's go ahead and sing one more song before you head home, if you'll take out your hymnal. The song 24. And Can It Be That I Should Gain, song 24. This is one of my favorite hymns just on the chorus. It says, amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? It's an amazing thought just to realize the love that God has for us, that he would come and die for us. So love singing this song, so really think about it as we sing the chorus. Song number 24, sing it all together on the first. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me, who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? He left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for Adam's helpless race. 'Tis mercy all immense and free. Amazing love, how can
Christ die for me. Long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's nigh. Thine eye diffuse a quickening ray. I woke the dungeon flame with light. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and follow me. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me?
Amen. Great singing. Thank you all for coming. God bless. You are dismissed.